Many businesses, including some nursing homes, are concerned about drivers speeding through their parking lots. If you've ever been on the campus of Greencroft in our area, you've probably seen something unusual, and that is a speed sign that says 18 miles an hour. Now, I've seen that sign several times over the years since we've lived here, and it's always struck me as an odd sign. Why would Greencroft, well, you know, was it a discount sign, or why did they get a sign which said 18 miles an hour instead of something typical? Why not choose 15? Or why not choose 20 miles an hour? Why choose 18? A few days ago, I heard the CEO of Greencroft speak, and he provided to me the answer to that, though that was not a question that it asked. He said, we were concerned about speeders zipping through our parking lot. So as we discussed ways that we could eliminate that problem or reduce that problem, he decided, let's pick up a speed which nobody else uses. And let's put that speed in a sign, and that way, hopefully, when people see that unusual speed, they will register. They will see that, and they'll make that click, if you will, and then, of course, we're going to either eliminate or we're going to reduce this problem. Well, as this CEO of Greencroft continued to speak, he said, I want you to know that that has not been that effective. We thought we had a great idea, but people still zip through our parking lot. What the CEO of Greencroft described is exactly what Steve just read about in Matthew chapter 13. The Lord says there were people who saw, but they really didn't see. That is, it didn't connect with them. And the Lord said there were people who heard, but it was kind of like the old expression, in one ear and out the other. It was selective hearing. It was selective seeing. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 13 that the problem being experienced by him in that day and time, the problem that Greencroft has had in our day and time, was also a problem in the time of Isaiah. Now, we are many years removed from the times of Jesus and Isaiah. It's also the case that we are not in the business of setting speed limits. We are, though, involved in a process of sharing a message for the world, and in many respects, it's just like Jesus described. That message that we want to preach, that message that we want people to see and hear, oftentimes they do see it, they do hear it, but does it really click? Does it really register with them? Does the message that's put forth cause people to really change their lives? If you ask most preachers, if you ask elders, if you ask people that are members of local congregations, I think, generally speaking, they would say no. People see, people hear, but for the most part, they continue to live the way that they have always lived. Today is Easter. That's not news, I think, to anyone who's here, and there is a lot of attention being directed to Jesus and certainly his resurrection on this day. But you know, after all the sermons are taught, after maybe all the Bible classes are put forth, how many lives will truly be changed at the end of the day? I'd like to be more optimistic than I am, but I suspect that the answer is going to be very few people will walk away from quote-unquote Easter, the day where people talk about Jesus, the day where people think about the Lord's resurrection, and they've seen and they've heard, but they're really no different. One of the key passages, one of the key messages that we find in the Bible is that seeing and even hearing are not enough. We can be exposed to the greatest sermons that are preached in our day and time, but still, even after we've seen, even after we've heard, we can go to hell just as easily as those who have never heard. To help us realize what it means to become someone who truly sees, someone who truly hears, I want to examine this morning with you a very special expression. It's an expression that's found in the Old Testament. Earlier, we were asked to hold the book of Habakkuk in readiness. There's a statement in Habakkuk 2 verse 4, which I want to read, and then explore from the standpoint of the New Testament. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. The point is at the end of the verse. The Old Testament prophet said, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright in him. And then here's the key part of the passage. He says, but the righteous, but the just, the saved, the people who are in a right relationship with God, the righteous or the just shall live by his faith. Now, the Old Testament prophet makes a very simple point. He says, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. Now, this sentiment is used or expressed or repeated three times in the New Testament. Paul uses it two times. He uses it first in Romans 1, verse 17. We'll look at that verse in a few minutes. And he also uses this expression, the just shall live by faith, in Galatians 3, verse 11. The third time we find this expression being used in the New Testament is in the book of Hebrews. We don't know who wrote that book. Whoever that author was, though, he uses this same expression, the same sentiment, the just shall live by faith. This morning I want to connect these four passages in a way which you may have never joined them before. In Romans 1 verse 17, Paul takes the first part of this expression, that is the just, and emphasizes that part of Habakkuk 2:4. Then when we get to that second passage where Paul uses this expression, Galatians 3 verse 11, Paul takes the second, or the middle section of Habakkuk 2:4, and that's where he puts his emphasis. And then when we get over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, we're going to find that the end of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, that section of the verse is emphasized by the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38. If you've turned over to the book of Romans, or maybe like me, if you're turning there now, you want to find the first chapter, Romans chapter 1. Leading up to the place where Paul uses this expression, we have in verse 15, Paul's statement, he says, I'm ready to come to Rome. And not only am I ready to come to Rome, Paul says, I'm ready to come to Rome and I'm ready to do some teaching. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. And then in that next verse, Romans 1:16, Paul says, this gospel that I'm talking about, Romans 1:15, he says, I want you to know that I'm not ashamed of the message. I'm confident. I feel good about the gospel. And then at the end of verse 16, he says, I want to preach this gospel to you because it's God's power. It's the way that God saves people. And then in verse 17, Paul comes to that statement that I just read from Habakkuk 2:4. He says in Romans 1:17, for therein, that's the gospel, for therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, where? As it's written back there in the book of Habakkuk. And then he gives the citation. He says, but the righteous, or your translation may say the just, shall live by faith. Now remember, Romans 1:17, this takes the first part of that expression back there in Habakkuk 2:4. The righteous or the just, and this is Paul's focus in Romans 1:17. Paul says the gospel back there in Romans 1:16. He says it is the gospel when people obey it. It allows an individual to be righteous. It permits a person to be just. And that's why Paul says the gospel is God's power to salvation. It's going to take us from sin and captivity to deliverance and freedom. You know, today there are a lot of folks, as I said earlier, focusing on Jesus and his resurrection. And those messages are perfectly good. Certainly nothing wrong in talking about the resurrection. We're mindful of the resurrection of Christ every week. We would not celebrate a dead Savior that is still in the grave. We recognize that Jesus has come back from the dead and that one day he's going to return. So we do remember him because he's a living Savior. But if we really want to hear Matthew 13, if we really want to see the significance of the resurrection of Christ, then we need to think back in terms of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. The Lord was not just raised from the dead, but Jesus was raised from the dead for a purpose. And that purpose is that we can be righteous. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17. The Lord came back from the dead so that we can be among the just, the saved, those who are in a right relationship with God. You see, if Jesus had stayed in the grave, he wouldn't have built his church. If we had a dead Savior, he'd be no Savior at all. He could do absolutely nothing for us. But God does not want man to simply hear about the resurrection of Christ. That's not enough, Matthew 13, verse 13 and following. God wants people to be just. Habakkuk made that point many, many years before the Lord came into the world. True hearing, Matthew 13, means that we follow through. True hearing means we act on. True hearing means we respond to what we hear as far as the gospel message. And when we do that, we are identified. We are grouped or classified as one of the righteous. A little later in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 18, Paul said that God wants servants of righteousness. Not just hear about righteousness, not just be able to talk about righteousness, but God says, I want you to serve me as a righteous individual. And then Paul said in another book, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 14, he says, I want you to wear righteousness. In talking about the Christian armor, he says, I want you to have that breastplate, which is composed of righteousness. Then in another epistle, writing to a younger preacher, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, Paul told that young man, he said, I want you to follow after. I want you to seek righteousness. And then Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, there is a way. There is a path. There is a direction of righteousness that man is to pursue after he becomes a Christian. Believing that Jesus came back from the dead, it's necessary, it's an important belief. But believing in the resurrection of Christ, or accepting the resurrection of Christ, has never made, nor will it ever make us a righteous person. And if we're not among the righteous, the first part of Habakkuk 2:4, if that word does not describe us, it's not just a word for the preacher. It's not a word just for the Bible class teacher or the elder or the deacon or the Christian wife trying to be a good example to her children. The Bible says if we're not a righteous person, we're not going to be saved. Now that's not my opinion. That's not my study judgment, but John said, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, that if we are not among the righteous, we're not of God. Now that's pretty clear. So John says there are two choices. You can be a righteous person or you can head in some other way. And if you head in some other way, you're lost. All these verses tell us that righteousness is not just possible, but in the sight of God, righteousness is required. You see, heaven is not for good people. Heaven is not for nice people. Heaven is for the righteous. Someone says, well, what does that mean? What is a righteous person? A person who's seeking to do what's right in the sight of God. God certainly has a category of people known as the righteous. Romans 1:17 and Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. And as I said a moment ago, if we are not in this category, we are not in a right relationship with God. Now, as we think about Hebrews 2 verse 4, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. We've looked at the first part of that, the just or the righteous. Now let's turn to the middle part of Habakkuk 2 verse 4. The righteous or the just, Habakkuk says they live. That's another key word. And as we look at what Paul said, we find that this second aspect is going to be brought out in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3 verse 11. We're going to look at the third passage, Hebrews chapter 10, after a little bit. As we think about what we find in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, let's take a look at that verse and read it as well. Galatians 3, verse 11. Here Paul says, Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous shall live by faith. Well, this is the same exact point that he's picking up from Habakkuk, but now the emphasis is not on the just or the righteous. Now the emphasis is on the word living. If we want to be a righteous individual, God says we've got to live. If we're not willing to live the Christian life, then we can't be that righteous person. Romans 1:17, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Now what Paul is trying to convey to the Galatians is something very similar to what we find or experience in the secular realm. For just a moment, let's take the words that we've introduced from Habakkuk 2:4, righteous and live, and substitute them with the words or with the ideas of healthy and eat. If we look at the point from the standpoint of food, the idea seems to be pretty plain. If we eat, well, that should help us or incline us to have good health. Eating is necessary to good health. Healthy people are those who must eat some type of food. Well, this is also true in the spiritual realm. We cannot be a righteous person, Hebrews 2:4, Romans 1:17, unless we are willing to live for God during our time on earth. When we're willing to live for God, then we can be a righteous person in our time. At least some of the people I talk to, I hear about individuals saying, well, I live for this or that. There are some people, and I can name a few, who are living for retirement. That's what they want out of life. That's where their life is focused on. That's what they're looking forward to, maybe because they're in retirement, maybe because they think retirement is in their future. Other people, perhaps those in the work world, you'll speak with them, and they say, we live for the weekend. Friday is the time that we treasure. Saturday is the day that we treasure. Or Sunday morning because we can sleep in. That's the day that we live for. Talk to some young parents, and you might hear directly or indirectly that they will say, I live for my children. That's where my life is directed. How many times has someone said to us, in my life, with my life, I truly try to live for God? I don't know about you, but I don't hear that too often. And yet the prophet said, the just, the righteous, the people who are right with God, what's true of them? They live. They don't just sit on the pew. They're not dead. They're not inactive. They don't just believe in Jesus and his resurrection at the end of time, but they truly live for God. I don't want to be unkind and certainly not critical, but I do want us to think carefully about what the prophet said, because it's important, at least in the minds of the New Testament writers, is remembering the Lord a couple of times a year, truly living for the God we pledge to know and serve. Is giving God a small token of this or that, really trying to live for him. And if we're not trying to live for God, Galatians 3:11, how can we possibly expect to be among the righteous? Hebrews 2:4 and Romans 1:17. Now the devil would like us to think that we can slop a little of this or a little of that towards God and, you know, not really live for Him and we're fine. But the Bible warns us that the devil is a liar. Imagine someone today, a good friend, a trusted advisor, coming to us and saying, I have a question for you. Are you in your life truly trying to live for God? The person comes in love. They're not trying to be judgmental. What would our answer to that question be? Would we be embarrassed? Would we say, well, let's talk about some other things? If it were not a friend that were asking that question, what if God were asking that question? Have you truly tried to live for me? Are you truly trying to live for me? For some, that would be a very uncomfortable question to answer. The just, the righteous, Hebrews 2:4, Romans 1:17, they try to truly live for God every single day, Galatians 3:11. All right, now we've looked at those two key parts from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. There are the just or the righteous, and they're characterized by living. They're willing to put forth effort. They're willing to sacrifice things for God. So now let's look at that third aspect of Hebrews 2:4. The just shall live. The third element is they're going to live by faith. Well, the emphasis on the by faith is found in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. It's here the Hebrew writer says, now the just shall live by faith. And the by faith, as I said, seems to be the point of emphasis in this book. The writer went on to say, but if any man draw back, he's not living that by faith life. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. When people in the religious world see those two words together, by faith, oftentimes they, in their minds, conclude that that means faith alone or faith only. But common sense says that we can't live by faith alone. It's just not going to work. Well, James affirms that that's impossible in James chapter 2, verse 26. He says that faith without works is dead. So when we talk about living by faith, that's not faith alone. Living by faith is just another way of saying that we are going to do our best to mold our lives after God's Word and do that on a regular basis. By faith in Hebrews 2:4 and Hebrews 10, verse 38 might be thought of as we're going to live according to God's Word. We're going to live according to the Bible to the best of our ability every single day. In the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, rather, we're told that Abraham offered up his son by faith. That is, he knew what God wanted him to do, and that's exactly what he did. By faith means that we also have faith in what God has said. When we believe or live, Galatians 3:11, we're part of the just. And we demonstrate that by being obedient to God. And that obedience is not something that happens just once or twice or half a dozen times per year. You see that word live in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, Galatians 3, verse 11, tells us that we want to believe, that we want to obey as regular activities in the Christian life. The Christian is not like the kind of person that Jesus described in our scripture reading, Matthew chapter 13. You see, the righteous person, because they live by faith, when they hear or when they see, it doesn't go in one ear and out the other. It's not someone who is like the person who has selective hearing. The righteous are not like the speeders that go through the green car parking lot at 30 miles an hour. You see, those speeders, they don't hear. They see the sign, but they don't obey. And God knows that when it comes to the religious realm, that same kind of thing can happen. People can hear and they can see, but it just, for some reason, doesn't connect with them. Today, in pulpits and religious buildings all across this land, there are going to be thousands of people who hear about Jesus, but you know, they really don't hear in the sense of Matthew chapter 13. There are going to be people who see for themselves from their Bibles information about God, but they really, Jesus said, will not see. How sad to have the message of God before us, audibly, being able to read it, and yet it just goes right over the head. People just don't get it. It doesn't connect with them in daily life. For us who are here today, when it comes to the Bible, does it really sink into our minds? That's the question that Jesus was inquiring about in Matthew chapter 13. That's the problem that he was addressing. Is it really the case for us that God's Word is directing our lives, controlling our lives, guiding us, in our thoughts, actions, and decisions every single day. For most of the world, those things are not true. And if those things are not true, then we are not among the righteous. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Hell is going to be literally filled with people who saw and heard, but they didn't follow through. Do we this day have the right kind of spiritual eyes and ears so that we're among the just? We're among the righteous because we're seeking to live by faith. Simple questions. Easy questions to answer. And we know the answer. Is that how we are living our daily life? We're just because we live by faith. If the answer to that question is no, God says you can change. And the time for that change is now. God says you can come over from the category of the unjust to the just by becoming a Christian. Faith in Christ. Faith that He really was raised from the dead. Turning from the old way of life, confessing that He is the only way. Baptism, Galatians 3:27, into Christ for the forgiveness of every single sin. And you know the Bible says that after baptism life is new, Romans 6:4. Do we remember why that life is new? It's new because we're now the just. It's new because we're now living for Christ. And it's new because we're living by faith, according to God's word. It is a brand new way of life. And we stumble. All stumble at various times. But we've taken that new direction. We've committed that direction to see, to hear, and be obedient. If we're not on that narrow road. This morning, God literally holds out His hands and says, I want you to be among the just. We take my offer. Someone says, well, I was on that path for a while, but I've turned. I've left. God says, it's time to come back. Let's do that now, as we stand and sing the selected song.